Father, we know you're ready to speak to us. We know that you desire for us to receive everything that you want to give us today. You're a generous Father. So we open up our hearts with the fans on, with a little bit of heat. We open up our hearts and we say, yes, Lord, have at it. Go after me. Go after me. I want to change. I don't want my ears tickled. I want to change. I want to have more joy after you're done dealing in my heart. I want to have more freedom after you work inside of me. I didn't show up today just to learn something I've learned before. I want to go deeper, Lord. Whatever is shared, I say I'm open to go deeper with you as your Holy Spirit speaks to me. That's the real message, what your Spirit says to me. So I'm open, God. Father, I pray each person here would have that kind of prayer before you today. And we will watch you change us. We will be excited that we are a changed people, a renewed people, an empowered people, an anointed people. Father, because the world needs anointed, powerful people, and only you can make us that way. Thank you, God. We open ourselves up during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So for some of you that weren't here when we spoke it from the front, Rick had some kind of problem this morning, and so he was taken to the emergency room. He normally plays bass up here, and Kim was leading everything and playing guitar, so we had a quick switch around, and I think we entered into worship anyway. That's a good thing. But we do want to lift up Rick, and haven't heard what might be the problem. There were some thoughts, but we'll watch God, Jehovah Rapha, turn that around for him and for others in our body, like Mary and Joe and Mary Teresa. We've had good reports from some and challenging reports from others. So we want to keep pressing into that and praying for them that they come through these difficulties healed. So many people have experienced healing in this body of sometimes major things. How many have been healed of something that you can give God glory for by raising your hand today? Yeah. Some of you remember in 2009, both Pastor Mary Pat and myself had malaria. She came close to death, but she had a quick turnaround as suddenly and given new lungs because there was no way for her to just walk out of the hospital when she walked out. They were saying she was going to die. If not, if she didn't die, she would have respiratory therapy for as long as that would take, and they were saying it was going to be a long time. But instead, within 2 days, she walked out of the hospital. I had gotten out a few days before that, and she was walking faster than I was walking. And I was on my way to health, but she does that. Cooperates with the Lord, gets healed, and it was an amazing thing. 2010, my ankle was broken, 3 fractured bones, went into the doctor and said, can we do something different than what you normally do? It was basically the message to him, and he cooperated with that, and I was supposed to have surgery, plates and screws. Instead, I had an ankle healed by Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't believe in plates and screws. We don't, you know, that we do what God wants in a particular situation to get his healing, whatever that is. If it's using a doctor and his skills, we have a doctor that's in this body that he does that. He uses his medical skills, but he also prays. And he's seen healings from his prayer in Africa and his medical arts. He's helped people in Africa as well as here. So you're not coming to a place that isn't going to challenge you, I hope. Because I need challenge, don't you? When I first became a Christian, I said, God, I don't want to just be a regular old Christian, but that's what I am. So how are you going to change that? I said, how open are you to challenge? Well, nobody likes pain. Nobody likes too much challenge. What do you have in mind, God? Oh, kind of burning bush kind of thing, you know, opening Red Seas, things like that. Then you're going to have to do something to me because I'm a basic chicken heart. I am a chicken heart. How are you going to change a chicken heart? And I've watched as he's done that. I don't think I've changed much from being a chicken heart, but he helps me step up to challenges that I wouldn't think that were possible to step up to. Some people just stop being chicken hearts. I think I'm still a chicken heart. But a chicken heart stepping into his grace, amazing things happen. So if you're still, you know, kind of knocking knees when challenges come, you're not behind. You're not, you know, anything any different than the rest of us. We talk big. We talk strong. Because in speaking it out, we found, wow, God backs us up. It's not that we think that we're so great. Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? So believe me, chicken hearts can do amazing with God's power inside of them, cooperating with him. I love it. Daniel, you know, was shaking in his knees and fell as if he was dead. And he was one of the closest people to God that we can find in the Bible. But when God actually showed up, his presence showed up in, you know, a huge degree, he was shaken in his knees and fell down just like the rest of us would. So it's not how great we are. It's how great Jesus is. It's how powerful he is inside of us. That Mozambique team, they're getting challenged every step of the way. Oh, yeah, they're in joy. Yeah, in the pictures. And they're in joy being challenged in their tents. And they're in joy being challenged by the long trips and the long hours and the dirt and, you know, meals they're not used to and all of that. But as they overcome those challenges by the power of Jesus, people's lives are changed. People are delivered and healed and saved. And the same thing can happen with us, here or over there. Okay, that was all for free. You don't have to pay for that. But we do have a couple quotes. Get a bonus quote today. Do we have those? Oh, great. Forgetting God. This is from last week. We talked about active remembrance. Forgetting God, who he is, what he says, what he does, is sin. That was kind of the bottom line for last week. If you missed it, too bad. We were talking about sin. Wasn't that great? Everybody that came, woo! Still cheering about that one. Woo! Sin. Well, wait till this week. We're going to up it. It's on nakedness. Oh, boy. I could get in trouble. Don't stop the tape. Keep it going because the Father's love doesn't exempt his sons and daughters. I can't read my own writing. From activating the fear of the Lord and responding with heartfelt, instant, and constant obedience. The Father's love doesn't exempt his sons and daughters from activating the fear of the Lord and responding with heartfelt, instant, and constant obedience. You know, just because the Father loves us so much, he's so generous to us, he's a gift giver, he's a lover of us, doesn't mean that we step back from obedience. Oh, well, then we don't have to obey as much anymore. Because he loves me, even if I mess up, even if I sin against him. Oh, he loves me so much, he'll just cover it and no big deal. But I need a close relationship with him, a close walk with him. Or we end up way far away from the destiny he has planned for us. And the way we do that is receive his Father's love, absolutely. We don't want to have false guilt, false shame. We don't want to come under condemnation. But we do want to be challenged by him, changed by him, so we're more obedient, we're quicker to obey, we're quicker to follow him, to be like him, and not be like ourselves. So that's what those two quotes were about. There were a few of us that showed up at the response yesterday, and interesting, much of what they shared about was on personal and corporate repentance. Lots of prayer on those two topics. They had worship going all day in Cleveland and the Wolstein Center on the campus of Cleveland State. But much of the prayer time was personal and corporate repentance. And people were really going before the Lord. They mentioned some of the same verses we've been mentioning in this season about searching our hearts and leaving our first love, that we don't want to do any of those things. We don't want to leave our first love. We do want to search our hearts and let God search our hearts. But many of the verses that we've been sharing here, they shared there. So we're right in step with what's happening in the body of Christ. Go before Him. Let us search. Let Him search us out. Give Him permission. Present ourselves before the Lord. Here I am. Search me out. There's things in here that need to change, God. Go ahead. Point them out. And I won't just look at them and say, oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I know about that one. I will ask for your forgiveness. I will repent, turn, and go a different direction. And that brings refreshing. They even mentioned it yesterday several times. Repentance brings refreshing. Why? Because we're able to easily come into the presence of the Lord. We want to be in the presence of the Lord. Do you know that sin separates so much you don't even want to be in the presence of the Lord? Not really. You kind of fight it. If you do come before the presence of the Lord, you're apathetic. You don't really let Him change you or me. We just won't let it happen. If we hang on to some sin, we don't ask His forgiveness, we might say, yeah, okay, I see that problem in my life, but we don't really let God hear our voice. You know what I'm saying? Hear our voice. God, forgive me. God, I repent of this. Those words should pass our lips often. Often. Before God. Not as a, oh, I feel like dirt. I'm a worm. No. I'm a child of yours, and I want to be so close to you that I want to just say, here I am. Forgive me. There are things in me I need to see you change in me. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on today. It's interesting, saw Brenda there yesterday, and she had a one word from the Lord. A one word from the Lord. Now, how many know that just one word from God, and we know it's Him, whether it's from the Logos or whether it's from His Rhema word speaking to us through His Holy Spirit, one word from God, and knowing it's from God, changes everything. It can change everything. It can change our direction. It can change our destiny. Just one word from Him. And we should value everything that we get from God. If He speaks to us, go ahead and ask Him, is that really you, God? I come up with my own stuff a lot, you know, sometimes. And so is that you? Is that really you? He's so gracious, He'll repeat it over and over again. So often He'll give me something for someone and I'll go, really? I'm supposed to say that to them? But He's gracious. He'll just repeat it over and over to me. And I'll know it's Him. It's so good to hear God repeat things to us. He repeats all the time in here to us. And so He does so when He speaks to our hearts. He's graciously repeating. So the word I had for quite a while was hiding. But I was hiding from sharing a message on hiding. Because I know what happens when I share a message on hiding. People think I'm speaking directly to them. They come up afterwards and they go, were you talking about me up there? Was that me? Me you're talking about? And the thing is, I have to say yes, because I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about everybody. So, yeah, I was, but, you know, I was talking with everyone. Oh, so it was about me. So it was about me hiding. Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, but I was also talking, but you're just making an excuse about them. It was really about me. So don't do that. Not today. It's about all of us, including me. Me first. I had to go through this. It's about hiding. Hiding from God. Hiding from, you know, what he wants in us. Hiding and not repenting. Hiding and not asking his forgiveness. Hiding and not asking the forgiveness of others. But I'm smiling while I'm saying that. Okay, I'm not mad at you for hiding. I know you're hiding, some of you. Some of you are hiding a lot. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying not to hide myself. I'm pointing at me. I'm looking at me. God, I don't want to hide from you. We'll find out why that's no good. I think you have a sense about it already. So let's go to Genesis 3. Found out, as I was thinking back, I've never given a message on Genesis 3. How did that happen? Everybody gives a message on Genesis 3. Everybody I know. Today is my turn. And I found so many things in here challenging to me. Let's start right out. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" We're going to try to go through this rather quickly, so stay with me. So what did Satan do here? Seed of doubt. He planted a seed of doubt in a listening ear. Now, I think God probably said, "Watch out for the serpent. He's in this garden." Maybe he even had signs posted in the Garden of Eden. "Watch out for the serpent. Look out for the serpent. Stay away from the serpent." But of course, Eve had a listening ear. And he was allowed, because of a listening ear, to plant a seed of doubt. The serpent, the enemy, Satan. Seeds of doubt can grow into trees of unbelief unless they are confronted and uprooted. We need to uproot seeds of doubt. The enemy, if he gets an opportunity to plant them in a listening ear, we could say no, you know. We start hearing him whisper things to us, and we know it's the enemy. Rather than tuning into that station, change the channel. Change the channel! But if the enemy does put a seed of doubt in there, we need to uproot that as quickly as possible. It could be a seed of doubt about anything. About our destiny, something really good that God wants for us. Well, I'm just not good enough to reach that destiny. Look at me. Look what he has to work with here. And the enemy goes, "Yeah, you're not much at all. You're pretty disappointing to God, by the way." Yeah, I am. I failed him this week. I failed him this morning. I failed him 2 minutes ago. You're right, enemy. I am a worm. I am a wretch. You start agreeing with the enemy, and he has mixed truth. Yeah, you're a worm. You're a wretch. I'm a worm. I'm a wretch. But I'm saved by grace, and God calls me a saint. He's not going to call you a worm or a wretch anymore. He doesn't want to. Because Jesus. He looks to Jesus and sees you. You're not a worm or wretch anymore. Those are pretty nice glasses. Looking through the life and the sacrifice of Jesus on us. Wow. That's why he calls us saints, sons, daughters, ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. He lifts us up with these names. That's why humility is so important, isn't it? To realize the only reason that we have any of those names, any of those positions, any of those titles, is because of Jesus. So he deserves all that worship on the stage. None of us, no matter how boldly we're singing out, none of us want you to come and say, wow, you are the best singer, you are the best player, you are the best, you are the best. The best thing is to let all that go to God. For all of us. And when you're singing out and we hear the sweet sounds from the congregation, singing out the praises of God, why should we point out who has a better voice and who has, you know, better harmony? Why? Just let all that go to Him. Let all that go to Him. I said I'd go fast. I'm not. So, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Plants doubt. She receives it into a listening ear. Shut the ear gate to the enemy. Shut the ear gate. Some of us have let lies come in and grow. They need to be uprooted, and that can be done as God searches our hearts. And the woman said to the serpent, she speaks up, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. How does that sound to you? Restrictive? Law? I think there's a problem in the way Eve says it. It's the truth, and God did say that, but why doesn't she add on, He's such a loving Father. He's such a gracious Creator. He's such a wonderful God. He walks with us in the midst of the garden. I see His heart in saying this to us. So that's why we want to obey. She could have convinced herself while she was telling the enemy what was right to do. But she just laid out the law. How many know that the letter of the law kills? Just laying out the law, it just kind of doesn't bring life. You have to know the heart of the lawgiver. We have to know the heart of Jesus. Jesus, I have good news for you. Jesus has a redeeming heart. A redeeming heart. Everything He touches, He tries to redeem. Everything. And if we're open to that redeeming of those things, oh, but I'm a failure. That's one of the easiest things for Him to redeem. Don't you remember Moses? I can't speak before Pharaoh. I stutter. Excuse. I can redeem that. But until you figure it out, I'll give you Aaron to speak for you. Because you're my chosen man to go to Pharaoh. No matter how you speak, how it comes across, how powerful you think you are. You killed a man, you're a murderer, I still chose you. You've been on the back desert for 40 years, probably soaking in your sorrows. I still chose you. So I'm going to empower you. You will go before Pharaoh, and you'll have a massive effect on history by doing so. They'll even make a movie with Charlton Heston about you. And it was certainly better than Planet of the Apes. So Eve states the law, black and white, but she forgets to state God's heart. Does she know the love and the goodness? Does she remember and know the one she's been walking with in the garden? She should have shared that with Satan. He hates hearing that. Perfect love casts out fear. When he hears that, just he wants to leave. He doesn't want to hear about the love of Jesus. So don't fight Satan with just the law, the word. You know, there's that thing when Jesus was tempted, he used the word of God. But if you don't use the heart of God with the word of God, you're not using as powerful a weapon as you can use. Because Satan throws out the law of God to try to trip people up. But he cannot give testimony to the heart of Jesus, the redeeming heart of Jesus. He just can't. He just can't do it. Just drives him crazy that Jesus died on the cross for you. You bring that up to him, he can't stand it. Praise, worship, he can't stand this when we praise and worship him. That's why we sing out with such boldness. We've seen him run. Truly, we have. Does she remember and know the love and the goodness of God are in his commands? He doesn't just give out commands. He's not just a tyrant. He has a heart behind it. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. True or false? False. But she was probably thinking right away. As soon as I touched this, I would die. And he's going, oh, you won't surely die. Try it out. Touch it. Check it out. So it's a process of death. And death is being away from God. She wasn't thinking of that relationship with God while she's talking. She's not remembering the goodness of God while she's talking to the enemy. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. True or false? True. However, not in the way she's thinking. Having your eyes opened on certain things is not the best. If God is the only one that can handle it. God is the only one that can handle good and evil and having the eyes open to it. We can't. That's why we needed Jesus through the rest of the Bible. When they had their eyes open to good and evil. Because we can't handle it. Famous movie line, wasn't there? You can't handle the truth. Something like that, you know. We can't handle that kind of spiritual mantle. We need Jesus before we can ever handle having our eyes open to good and evil. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Will you be like God? They were like God in image. But they're not like God in dealing with good and evil. We're not like God in dealing with good and evil. We're not too good at it. He's great at it. We need his power to even approach being able to deal with good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, eye gate, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she had a desire. The desire started up. She took of the fruit, took, and ate. Actually participated, sinned. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Okay, so the serpent shares a mixture of lie and truth. Lie, you will not surely die, not on the spot, but as the result of a process. God was accused of withholding good. It was the enemy's spin zone. Eyes opened, that's not necessarily the best always. In this case, it's not, because innocence was lost. They were totally innocent. Can you imagine? No, we have a hard time. We can't imagine what it was like to be totally innocent. Not a mark on your record. No rap sheet. Totally innocent and walking with God in the garden. The lie of the enemy, be like God. Not exactly. You have the image of God, but you're not like him. So she listened to a lie and started the process of sin. The same thing happened to Achan. If you want to look this up later, we don't have time today, but Achan in Joshua 7, starting in verse 19. An entire action of the army taking over the promised land was turned into a defeat because one guy got tempted and followed the process by seeing, acting on it, and taking some goods he wasn't supposed to take, and then he hid them in his tent. They had to come find him. They lost the battle. They came and found him, and his whole family was wiped out, and everything he had in his tent, all burned up. Wow. God's kind of serious about sin and its consequences, and we see that in the Old Testament. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we have him. Otherwise, each one of us would have a screw up and either be carried out dead like Ananias and Sapphira. That's another interesting thing. Acts 5, that's in the New Testament. They lied, said they brought in the entire price of some land that they sold, some property they sold, and they didn't. They were caught on it, and they dropped dead, and they were carried out. And fear took over the church. I wonder why. Wow. Makes me think about some of the things that I have done. Your grace. The first song today, right? Is it the first song? Yeah, first song. I was trying to make it the third song, but it was first. Your grace is enough. Your grace is sufficient. Think how much he's covered for us. But in the early church, this couple was made an example for lying to the Holy Spirit. Sobering. Sobering. So Achan went through the same process. This process of sin is not new, is it? See, want, go get it, have it, hide it. David did that, didn't he? With Bathsheba. Saw her bathing, wanted, took care of that whole thing. She was brought to him, another man's wife. They conceive a child together. That husband is put on the front lines. He's killed. And it takes Nathan to point it out to David. Now think about it. The guy that wrote the majority of Psalms, so close to God, it seems, so clueless about his sin. What happened? He was hiding it, and he became dull. Dull to conviction. Hiding makes us very dull to God's voice trying to get in and saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've known this is sin. What's going on? Part of it is not remembering all the goodness of God. You don't need that person. You need me, God says. You need a closer relationship with me. And by the way, why aren't you at war? Hanging out, taking it easy, David, taking it easy. Your eyes start to look at things to satisfy your time and your own desires. Instead of being engaged in war and battle for the kingdom. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. First time that innocence is lost. And they discover, oh, there's something wrong here. We're open. We should be covered. What's wrong with us? We've got to hide away. And of course, they pick the worst clothes. Leaves. I mean, they curl up. They blow in the wind. Not a good plan. You're trying to cover up. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What's he want to do? Why does God take a walk on earth in the Garden of Eden? Is he a botanist? What a lovely tree. Look at that fruit. Probably not too impressed with all of that creation. Yes, he is a botanist, but it doesn't impress him. What impresses him is fellowship with us. That's what he likes. That's what he wants so much. So he's walking in the garden not to check out the pool and check out the greenery. He's looking for relationship. Where are they? There's only two of them. Where are they? He knows where they're at. Knows exactly where they're at. Adam and his wife hid themselves. Wait a minute. You were walking with God, openness, freedom, didn't even know you didn't have clothes, so open, so innocent, so free, and now you're hiding from the Lord. You know that sin separates us from God, but it's on our part. He's always coming after us, wanting relationship. We're the ones that hide when we sin. It's just a natural thing we do. We hide, we cover up to be away from God. We sense he's not happy with sin. He's not enjoying our sinful ways. So they hid behind fig leaves and trees, thinking God doesn't know where they're at or can't find them. The creator of the universe? His eyes go to and fro across the earth. 2 Chronicles 16:9. They're looking for who? For those that are doing bad, right? That's who he's looking for. Can't wait to smack them. No, that's not what it says. He's looking for the hearts loyal to him, the righteous. He's looking for anyone that would have a heart loyal to him. That's who he's looking for. He's not looking to see what you're doing. What are you up to? Catch you, smack you one, give you a kick. He's looking positively. Where are those that have hearts loyal to mine? I want to bless them. I want to favor them. Those that repent even and come into right relationship of what they're doing. My heart goes to them, for them. I'm searching for them in the new garden. He still wants relationship. He still wants closeness. He still wants fellowship. Searches us down when we're hiding and trying to be out of his presence because of who we are, what we've done. The Lord calls out a redeeming call. Why isn't he going, ha-ha, I know what you're doing. I know what you did. I know you talked to the serpent. But he knows everything. Omniscient means he knows everything. He knows everything. So God's not surprised here like, oh, how did you? Oh. He even knew this was going to happen. And he still walked with them in the garden. Never revealed to them, you're going to screw up. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's no conversation like that that went on. Gave them the commands, walked with them in the garden, wanting fellowship. Still wants fellowship after they've screwed up and he knows it. Where are you, Adam? Do you think he doesn't know where Adam is? Geographically. He knows exactly where he is. What he's saying is, where are you in relationship to me? Why are you hiding, Adam? I can see you. I still love you. I now need to redeem you. Verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I heard your voice, but I ran, I hid. I'm open to you, and I don't want to be. I want to hide everything. We can't have that freedom any longer in our relationship. And he said, who told you that you were naked? You think God doesn't have any clue? He's asking these questions for Adam, not for information. God knows the answers already. He's asking the question so Adam will take a look at things. He will come out of hiding. He will see that hiding has no benefit whatsoever in the presence of a holy God. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should eat, should not eat? He already knows the answer to that. And yet he asks that question. He's convicting of our hearts, isn't it? He brings up questions that are uncomfortable all the time. Now, we can go like this, la, 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 I'm going to hide, I'm going to hide, I'm going to hide, la, 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 la. But he's still going to give a redeeming call. I can help you. Come into fellowship with me. I can help you. Then the man said, now, if God had asked those questions, he's wanting Adam to come out of hiding, but Adam maintains his hidden nature with what he says next. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree of the tree, and I ate. It was factual. But he's blaming someone else for his own action against what God said, his own disobedience. You're looking at me, God, but it was her, God. Blaming, it was her. The reason I sin is her. So, blaming others. That's one of the strategies. Sounds great, doesn't it? Has that ever happened to you? He did it. Little kids all the time, brothers, sisters, come on. Oh, he did it. He did it. It's in us to try to pull that strategy. And you're talking to mom and dad, okay? And after they get to know you a while, they know which one it was. Sometimes by the look on your face, the look in your eyes, the lying that's coming out of your eyes to mom and dad. Sometimes they're not always sure, but you're talking about God, and he's trying to blame Eve. The woman you gave to be with me. The gift you gave to me screwed up. Why didn't you give me a perfect woman? I did. She came out of you, mister. How much more perfect do you want it? Gave me of the tree and I ate. Probably said that kind of quietly. You know, the woman you ran into, did I hate? This is a hiding strategy. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, I'll blame too. Sounds like a good strategy. The serpent deceived me and I ate. The serpent deceived. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Now she's saying that? Why wasn't she saying it in their conversation? Why should I listen to you, serpent? There's billboards posted everywhere about you. You're a deceiver. You're a liar. I'm not going to listen to your suggestions, your half-truths, your lies. No way. But now he's a deceiver. It's his fault. And I ate. I partook. I got involved in this situation because of him. Because of him. Blame the serpent. So in the next section here, we won't go through it because of time, even though I take lots of time. God deals with each one of those. Deals with the serpent. Deals with the woman. Deals with the man. Deals with all of them. And they all get the consequences for hiding more than their sin. What if they would have said, I repent. What a fool I was. I used to walk with you in the garden. You were so good to me. You were so wonderful to me. You gave us this whole garden with a beautiful Olympic pool. Food everywhere. We don't even have to shop because of the clothing requirements. It's awesome. Just hang out in the garden. Eat the food off the trees. Beautiful place. But no. They decide to hide instead. It's a key decision. If they would have repented, it may have been different for us. If they would have asked forgiveness of God, it may really have been different for us. Maybe there'd still be a garden, but there'd be kind of a reinforced fence around the tree of life so that we didn't touch the tree of life. Who knows what God would have done with their repentance, how he would have changed everything. But they decided to hide instead, and they got the consequences of their sin. Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. They tried their own covering. Wasn't really that great. Their first thought was not so great. Covering with leaves, hiding in trees. Once they understood at least a little about good and evil, and they were on the wrong side of things. But God in his grace, after the consequences of sin are dealt out to them, he comes and kills an animal, a sacrifice. A sacrifice was required to cover them. And so he kills an animal, takes the skin, and they're covered in that, God's covering. I'm suggesting to you today that by repenting to God, by asking his forgiveness, that we just reinforce the covering that Jesus is for us. We just come into closer fellowship with him. He's already the covering for our sin, past, present, and future. But we can celebrate that. We can enjoy that closeness with him and understand more things in the Spirit. Get closer to his heart, what his redeeming heart is like. We won't just be thinking of the law all the time and how far short we're falling. We'll actually be freer in our hearts if we repent. Come before him and say, I see, God, you searched me, you found things, I see them, I ask your forgiveness, I repent. And then that may require us to go to others. Because our sin splashes on other people. Or our unforgiveness of people sinning against us. It causes a rift with other people in our sphere of influence. So God in his grace causes a sacrifice. It required death to cover them. And he covers them. He clothed them. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Again, in his grace, he moves to keep them permanently out of the way of touching the tree of life. Why? They would have lived forever in the state of having to pay for their sin. Live on earth forever in this state. Never have an opportunity to have this completely turned around. Do you know that when we get to heaven, that because Jesus was our covering on earth, you get glorified clothes. You get a whole new wardrobe. The covering turns into the glory that Jesus has won for us. So the covering on earth is Jesus paying for our sins. No longer do we have to deal with tunics of skin, although by symbolic nature we all wear clothes, at least if you don't look at the internet. We all wear clothes as a habit, as we all think that's good. That's good. Yeah, please wear, please. Wear clothes. And it's symbolic of saying Jesus is our covering. He's covered all that. God made clothes for Adam and Eve. This is like reminding us Jesus covered it all. Jesus covers our stuff. Why not agree with him? I need it covered. God, I need it covered. Yesterday is, several thousand maybe at the Wolstein Center were crying out. At one point they were crying out in repentance, corporate repentance as well as individual repentance. It's quite a sound when people cry out for repentance. And I know that God is just, thrilled with that. Yeah, he likes to worship on stage, but the worship that came from the people crying out for with repentant hearts, with forgive us, God, forgive us, so that they can come to a better place of forgiveness, a better place of freedom. We don't give a message like this, so you feel bad, go home, well, boy, I feel bad. I guess that's good. I feel bad. No, you're supposed to say, wow, I want to repent so I have more freedom. I have more joy. Jesus is about joy. Not going around with your head down going, boy, am I a worm. Huh. Boy, that message really made me feel like a worm. That's good. I should feel like I should get lower. I should put my nose on the ground, and that would please God. Actually, it better be brief. You can repent, but don't keep your nose on the ground the rest of your life. He wants you to rise up in that freedom and share with the nations. This team that we sent out, they have come to a certain place of freedom to go out and share, even though they know they're weak within themselves. They've come to a certain place of freedom that they're trusting the forgiveness of Jesus. Because you can get over there, and I'm telling you, it's an atmosphere, a dark atmosphere. You've heard of dark Africa? It's because there's so much witchcraft. There are so many witch doctors, so many warlocks, so many witches. You know, in Africa, they say witches actually fly. Oh, that couldn't be. Well, that's been disproven so many. They fly. There's spiritual powers active over there. You just wouldn't believe. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And you go over there, you start feeling like a slug unless you're with a team, unless you're fighting. Do you know that over 50% of the missionaries we send out come back before their term is ended? Why is that? They're not ready to deal with all the shame and the guilt and the feelings of failure and everything that the enemy tries to put on people when they're reaching out in his name. They're not just tired. They're spiritually overwhelmed. So you can see why I'm kind of excited that 12 people from this body are over there battling for the kingdom's sake. And they're in joy. And they help one another be in joy. They're fighting spiritual forces you wouldn't believe. And yet they're in joy because another person is coming along and picking them up when they're feeling like, oh, I'm going down. They have someone there to help encourage them and pick them up. Do you know that there are spiritual forces here as well coming against us? That's why Lone Ranger Christians is not the best idea. It's just not. Independent Lone Ranger Christians riding the horse around going, I'm going to change the world for Jesus. And within 5 years, they're in the world. Why? Because they tried to do it alone. God's idea was to do it together. It's always been his idea. That's why a Nathan is needed to remind a king, you're off. A prophet reminding a king who wrote many of the Psalms. Nathan didn't go, well, he wrote the Psalms. I better not say anything to him. I'm going to be reading those, you know. He stepped up to the plate and challenged him. We need that with one another in order to not hide. And when someone tells you, I think, you know, you might consider you're hiding. Don't defend like they did. Don't make excuses like they did. Don't blame like they did. Come before the Lord and ask him, am I hiding? Am I speaking out of both sides of my mouth? I'm loyal to you, God. God, I love you and all your people. Honestly, that's part of the hiding. And it affects what happens in the body. It affects the winning over of the kingdom. So come before God. Repent. If you need to go to others, repent. Ask forgiveness. Forgiveness is a good thing. Asking for it is wonderful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, he can't wait to forgive. If Adam and Eve would have just gone to him, but they hid. So last week, it was about remembering all that God has done for you. And for us as a body, remember, tell one another, remind one another. Remember that healing? Oh, we heard that 5 times before. Say it again. Remember the woman that did the oil thing and that whole, it's going to be remembered forever. You know how many times that's been spoken about? We need to remind one another, like the Holy Spirit reminds us of the things Jesus taught us. John 14:26. He's reminding us. We need reminding. We forget very easily. So last week was about being actively remembering of the things God did and speaking them back to him. This week, it's about not hiding. When, okay, done things, said things, we have. Come on. Come before God and speak with him about it. Come in close to him. Part of drawing into his presence is humbling ourselves before him and saying, I agree with you. I have screwed up. But not staying in that. Let him forgive you and move forward into helping others. Our whole life shouldn't be spent working on our issues. Amen? It should be about getting those solved so we can help other people as much as possible. That's real freedom. So I'm excited about this team in Mozambique. It's not just another old mission trip. None of these trips are that way for me. I'm so excited that people fought through all the things to get there, and now they're fighting through all the things in Mozambique to win people to Jesus. When those 10 people come up, when 20 people come up, when 60 people come up and they get something from the Lord, they're asking for forgiveness. Our team has had a real focus on repentance while they're there. We sent out a constant contact. If you didn't get it, we can get it to you, but about the video that they watched on repentance. There's a book that we've passed out to people that want one per person or one per couple, about the Jesus fast. Drawing in closer to Jesus, closer. Coming into a place where we are not hiding. If we continue to hide, we can't get the benefits of the covering or the protection. You just won't receive the benefits of it. The only way to receive all the benefits that God has as sons and daughters is to come before Him. Father, I have sinned. Father, forgive me. Father, I repent. I want to turn around in this area that I've been hiding from You. Now, you can fool all of us. You can fool other people in the world easily. You can sometimes even fool a spouse pretty easily. But God sees it all. Those questions He's asking Adam are for Adam. He knows where Adam is. He knows where we are. He's watching our lives. And it's not just so we go, oh, He's watching my life. I better be very good. You should fall in love with Him so much you want Him to see you as the apple of His eye, that you're pleasing Him. It's what the whole emphasis is on holiness in this time, isn't it? That we've been talking about since Ben came here. Holiness is not some kind of word like this where you get tight. Oh, if I do this and if I walk the line, that's holiness. If I can just stay on that line, that's holiness. Oop, fell off again. No, that's not holiness. Holiness is trying to walk with freedom what God is doing, bouncing on the line. You know, and receiving all He has for us to be able to bounce on that line with joy. With joy. And then when we fall off, Jesus, what was I thinking? Forgive me. And then get back on. And then with joy, walking with joy. We're not going to affect the world with pickle faces. We're all pickles. I'm going to stay on the line. Don't you want to join me on the line? Why would I want to do that? You don't look like you're having much fun. But I am. I'm in joy. Freedom is what He wanted for Adam and Eve. Freedom is what He wants for us. I can see that time is finished. Beyond finished. So we're going to pray. I think you've got it. Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him. He's still talking about nakedness in the New Testament. That everything in our life is open to Him. Why not respond to Him, not run from Him? Father, we just say, here we are. We come before You in Your presence, not just in word of mouth, not just from what we can say, not from just what we can declare, but in reality, we come before You in the privacy of our hearts and we say, God, I want to respond to You. I want to admit I've been hiding in this area. I've been speaking out of both sides of my mouth, loyal to You on one side and disloyal on the other. I've spoken against people. I've trashed people and judged people. God, forgive me. I see it now. And those that You want me to speak with, I will, God. I'll admit. I'll not hide anymore. I'll quit trying to play a role, play a game, put on pretense. Jesus, cure me of pretense. Jesus, cure me of pretense. I don't want to be pretending. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Jesus, I want to be pure inside my heart in my relationship with You and with others, God. More and more responding in love to them, bearing with one another in love, all those wonderful things that I can only do because of Jesus. Thank You, God. I want to live higher. I want to live higher, God. And that means I need to go lower. And I just offer myself to you today, God. I offer my heart to you today. Come in. Search me out. And God, I will respond. I want to walk with you in the garden. I want to be close to your heart. I want to respond to your redeeming actions. Thank you for covering me by the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you for wanting to be in fellowship with me, willing to sacrifice your son to be in fellowship with me. Thank you, God. Thank you. I remember now. I need to come before you. I remember now the refreshing I've had of repentance in the past. I remember now the healing I received. Father, I cannot get healing if I hide from you. I cannot get help if I hide from you. Jesus, here I am. Receive me. Receive me. Don't hide your eyes from me, Lord, as the psalmist often says. Here I am. I present myself before you. I respond. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. So just like David in Psalms 51, once Nathan pointed out what was going on in his life, what did he do? He repented. The whole psalm is him coming to God. Don't let your Holy Spirit depart from me. All these things he's asking God in humility. Let's do the same. Have a good rest of the day. Be blessed.